ever deserve, more than we could ever ask for. That's what He's given us. I thank God that I know Him in the free pardon of sin tonight. If you have your Bibles, Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter number 25. I'll be before you brief tonight. Church, can I say Merry Christmas? Thank you from the bottom of our heart for asking us to come be with y'all tonight. We count it a privilege to come be at Fletcher First Baptist. We love your pastor, Brother Roy, your family preacher. We love you. Thank God for you and what you've meant to us and our little lives. And we can never repay you for the kindness that you've shown to us. And for y'all sharing your Brother Darren with us, that he can come and pastor our little church and teach my children the gospel, teach my kids the word of God, and to see both of them give their hearts and lives to the Lord under his ministry. What a blessing it is. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Amen. Ain't it good to be saved? And God help us in this time of Christmas, the season, that we don't get so caught up with the gifts. We don't get so caught up with Santa and all the lights and all the things that's going on around us, that we forget to take time to say thank you to Jesus for coming and giving his life, coming and being born to a lowly virgin there in the town of Bethlehem, being laid in a manger, that he could grow up and one day give his life for somebody as low down and as undeserving as I am. Amen. I'm glad he saw fit to come and save us. Proverbs chapter number 25 tonight. If you've been watching any of the news of the past couple of weeks, you know it's just bad news every time you turn the channels on, everywhere you look. If you listen to Facebook, if you listen to social media or any of the other outlets, it looks like it's bad news everywhere we turn. But church, can I give you some good news tonight? Amen. Proverbs chapter 25, if you want to stand for just a moment, you've been sitting for quite a while, and thank you for being so attentive to while we were trying to sing. Y'all raising your hands and lifting praises to God. It's not about us, it's about Him. But it sure gives us a little encouragement for our journey. Amen. Thank you for doing that. We're really one verse of scripture tonight. Proverbs 25 and 25. The Bible says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. I'm glad we have some good news tonight. When everything seems to be falling around us and we didn't hear nothing but bad news on every hand, there's some good news from a far country. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your throne thanking you, God, for the opportunities that you've allowed us to be here tonight. God, we love this church. God, we love this place. But God, more than that, I'm glad that you chose to send your son to die for us. And God, we can feel your Holy Spirit moving in this house tonight. God, help us to never take that for granted. Help us, God, we ask for just a few moments while we try to lift up praises and preaching to you. God, help us, God, to do our very best for you. God, we love you. God, we realize we're nothing, but God, you're everything. God, we give you praise in your house tonight for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you for standing while we read the word of God. Amen. We'll read it one more time. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And as we've already said, everywhere we look, we seem like we have bad news on every hand. No matter what channel you flip to, no matter what news station you prefer to listen to, it's usually nothing but bad news. Amen. All we hear about day or night is something bad political, some natural disaster going on, something across the world somewhere, or somebody's shot somebody down the street. It's nothing but bad news. Do you realize there's not a lot of good news that's being broadcast in the airwaves that we get to listen to, that this world gets to listen to? If you watch the news, it doesn't matter, as we said, what network you're looking, you're going to get in every 30-minute broadcast, you're going to get about 22 minutes of bad news and about 8 minutes of bad commercials. That's about what it wraps up. There's nothing good on it. But the thought hit me the other day, as we were looking and listening to all the bad things going on, what if heaven had some headlines that they could put out? What if heaven had a newspaper that they broadcast? Friend, can I tell you something? They already have. There's some good news to be found in the Word of God. Amen. I suppose that every headline, it would be about Jesus Christ, because it's all about Him anyway. Amen. It's all about Him. A lot of times we get ourselves in the way. We get our foolish pride in the way and think that we're something when we're really nothing. But it's all about Jesus Christ. As I got to thinking about what kind of headlines that heaven might publish, the Lord showed me that We have everything that we would ever need found in the Word of God. Amen. We've often said that when we're praying, it's us talking to God. But I've heard people say, I want to hear from God. How do we hear from God? You read His Word. When we pray and we're talking to God, but when we're reading His Word, we're letting God speak to us. We have the written Word of God tonight if you have a copy of the Word of God in your hands. Amen. But in this blessed old book, there's some of the greatest headlines ever to be found. Amen. And if you'll just allow me for a little bit tonight, I want to share with you some good news found in the Word of God. Number one tonight, it would say something like this, extra, extra, read all about it. A baby boy born of a virgin in Bethlehem, he's going to save the world. My, what good news that is. Some 2,000 years ago, there was a baby born in the city of Bethlehem. Now, since the Garden of Eden, since that time, there's been baby after baby born into this whole world. But on this one particular night, there was a baby boy that was born to a little virgin girl, and he was going to change the world forever. Amen. This child, he wasn't just a baby. Oh no, my friend, he wasn't just a baby, but he was a king. He was not only just a king, he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He was born into this old sinful flesh, but he lived a sinless, spotless, perfect life to save an old wretched sinner like me. Amen. This birth was so special that we can read about it in the book of Luke, chapter number 2. Amen. If you'll just indulge me for just a moment. Luke, chapter number 2, verse number 9, it says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel the multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You may ask yourself today, why would God choose to send His only begotten beloved Son into this old sinful world? We look out at all the bad things happening. Why would He send His Son? I know I could never send one of my daughters to pay for any of y'all's sin debt. No matter how much I loved you, I wouldn't trade one of them for you. And if you're honest, you wouldn't trade one of yours for me either. I can't understand why God would choose to send His Son, but aren't you glad He did? That's some good news tonight. He sent His only Son, and He tells us in His Word here, John 3:16, why He sent. Why was it for God? He so loved the world, amen, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means anybody, amen, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, amen. My friend today, man, he was in a hopeless and a lost condition, and there was no hope for him unless a sacrifice was to be made, but because of the price that Jesus paid, because of that, we have hope today. Now, friend, that is some good news. Because He was born into this old sinful world, we have some good news tonight. Because He took up an old robe of flesh, we have good news. Because He lived a perfect, sinless, spotless life, and then laid it down on the cross of Calvary, laid in that old tomb for 3 days, and then up from the grave He arose, we have some good news today, amen. Because He rose triumphant over death and triumphant over hell and triumphant over the grave, we can now be saved. The Gentile can be saved, amen. Thank God we have some good news from the other side. Ephesians 2, 1 through 7 says this, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past of the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Boy, it sounds like we have no hope, does it not? But I like this, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved tonight. Thank God, that's some good news from a far country tonight. God's love for the sinner is good news from a far country. My friend, there's always going to be somebody that loves you. You may feel like you're all forsaken and you're all alone. And this time of the year, we realize that that's when you feel the loneliest, when you've lost a friend, when you've lost loved ones. Can I tell you something? You're never alone. God knows exactly where you're at, and He sent His Son to pay a sacrifice for you. And He said, "Lo, I am with you always." He will always be with you, no matter how much the devil tries to make you feel like you're alone. Amen. Jeremiah 31 tells us that He loves us with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness has He drawn us. Aren't you glad tonight that God, He so loved the world that He saw fit to send His Son as a lowly baby in a manger. Amen. That's some good news from a far country. Secondly, tonight, I believe another headline would read like this. Extra, extra, read all about it. Jesus Christ, it's finished, and sin's debt is settled forever. Amen. John 19 says this, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost. Jesus came to this world but for one purpose. And He came to be the final sacrifice to atone for your sins and for my sins. Not only that, the sins of an entire world. Amen. But because it was impossible for us to save ourselves, God sent Jesus Christ, and He gave this perfect, sinless life for me and you. Isaiah 53 says, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions, and He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." What a sacrifice He prayed. He paid the full price for sin, and nothing else needs to be done tonight. A lot of times we try to add something to what Jesus has done. Can I tell you something? You can never live good enough to earn your way into heaven. You can never earn your way for forgiveness. Amen. There's nothing you can do but call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's what? The gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The new good news from a far country is this. My sin debt was settled forever. I'm thankful that Jesus came to pay a debt that we did not owe. Not only did He finish that, the path that He was on, He finished it well. Amen. Thirdly, tonight, I believe our headline would read like this. Extra, extra, read all about it. The Lord is risen indeed. Surprise, surprise. Jesus is alive. Amen. Luke 24 says this. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but He is what? He is arisen." Amen. We serve a risen Savior tonight. Jesus rose from the dead. Death could not hold Him. For just as He was the master of sin on the cross, He conquered death at the tomb. Amen. Revelation 1 says, "And He laid His right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." Jesus is the first fruit of the dead. Because Jesus lives, as y'all sung about so wonderfully when we opened this service, we can live too. Amen. Because Jesus came and gave His life, He conquered death. Death has lost its sting. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory?" The good news from the far country is this, that Jesus, He arose from the grave, and He's now alive forevermore. That is some good news from a far country. Amen. Ain't that a lot better than anything we've got going on around here? Boy, that's some good news from a far country. Fourthly, tonight, I believe a headline would read like this. Extra, extra. Read all about it. I go to prepare a place for you. Building program underway in heaven. John 14 says this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. Because that we have trusted in the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Because we're born again, heaven is going to be our home someday. Aren't you glad this whole world ain't the end of it? Aren't you glad that this whole world ain't our home? No doubt your homes are decorated so beautiful right now. But friend, it ain't a drop in the bucket to what heaven has for those who have trusted in the Savior. Amen. Heaven is going to be so much greater than we could have ever imagined. Amen. And because we've trusted, if you're in here tonight and you know Jesus, because that you trusted in Him, heaven will be our home one day. Revelation 21 says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And I love this verse. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. That's our home that we're reading about right there. That's the home that Jesus has gone to prepare for those who love Him, who've trusted in Him. Heaven's going to be far greater than anything we could ever imagine. 1 Corinthians says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Paul said of his visit to the third heaven that he heard things that were unlawful to be uttered. He couldn't even speak of those things that he saw. There are no words in our English language that could accurately describe the beauties and the splendor of heaven and what's waiting for those who've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll flip over in Revelations 21 again, starting in chapter number, verse number 10, Revelations 21. We get a small glimpse of what heaven is going to be like. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is going to be your home. Revelation 21:10 says, and He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall, it was as of jasper. Now this is describing the splendor of heaven. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, and the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the streets of the city was pure gold, as it were as transparent glass. I like this part. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. That's our home that we're reading about. That's heaven for those who have trusted in the Lord. The good news from a far country here tells us that this world is not our home. This world is not our permanent dwelling. Don't dig your stakes too far down here, because one of these days we're going to get to go to a place that cannot compare to anything down here. What good news that is. What a day that's going to be, my friend. That's some good news from a far country. Fifthly tonight, extra, read all about it. Jesus to return to earth again. Are you ready? Revelation also says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Jesus is returning for his bride in the rapture. Amen. Have you made your preparations to meet him? Are you ready tonight? 1 Corinthians says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Have you made preparations to meet him? Are you ready tonight? Should Jesus step out on a cloud of glory and call his children home? 1 Thessalonians 4 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ, they're going to what? They're going to rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Have you made your preparations to meet him? Are you ready? It's only going to be a short time until Jesus comes. As I look back over my life, I'm 43 years old now. It seems like just yesterday I was celebrating Christmas around with my mom and dad in their house. Now here we are, my kids, they're almost grown. And y'all have seen them grow up through the years. How they've changed when the time is flying by. Time is just a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. Have you made preparations to go? Revelation 22 says, and behold, I come quickly. Good news here is, once again, this ain't our permanent dwelling. One of these days, the King of Heaven, he's going to step out on the cloud of glory. The trump of God is going to sound, and the children of God, those which have died trusting in the Lord, are going to come forth out of their graves. Then we, which are alive and remaining, are going to meet them together in the air. What a reunion that's going to be. What a reunion that is for the believer of God. Are you ready tonight? Should that happen this very evening? Have you made preparations? Are you ready to go? Sixthly tonight, and then I believe a headline would read like this. Extra, read all about it. Wedding bells are ringing. Have you made your reservation? Revelation 19:6 says, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunder, and say, alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. In his vision here, John saw and heard the heavenly multitude of God saying the marriage supper was about to begin. You see, the church on earth today, those of us that are sitting here that have been blood bought, washed in the blood of the Lamb, we have been betrothed to Christ. Have you made your reservation? We've been engaged, if you will, and all believers who have trusted in him, we're waiting for the appearance of our bridegroom to come and get us. When's he coming? At the rapture. When Christ comes and he claims his bride up and takes her to his father's house, well, there's going to be a marriage supper to follow, amen? And we can't imagine. What's the good news here? The good news is that we really get to go because of what Jesus did. Those who have trusted in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that's our hope tonight. We really get to go. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb tonight? Seventhly tonight, we see this headline, extra, read all about it. Whosoever will, let him come. Salvation is yours for the asking. Revelation 22 says, and the Spirit and the bride say what? Come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. My friend, tonight, salvation, it's available to each and every one of us. Matthew 11 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. None will be turned away. None who come by the drawing of the Spirit will ever be turned away. John 6 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. The good news here is that the price for your salvation, it's already been paid. You don't have to give one thing. All you have to do is ask, and you shall receive. Amen. It's free for the taking. You don't have to die tonight and go to hell. You don't have to die in your sins. Why is that? Because there's good news. Jesus Christ came that you don't have to die and go to hell. Amen. Jesus paid the perfect debt for our sin. All you have to do is call on him. Have you made preparations tonight? Lastly tonight, one more headline. All these others that we've talked about, I can't give you a date on them. But this particular one, I can give you a date on this one. And the headline reads something like this. Extra, extra, read all about it. Saved, saved, another one makes it in. Another one, welcome to the fold. Of all the articles we've read, I can't put a date on any of them. But this one right here, I'm 100% sure of the date on this one. Amen. On April the 20th of the year 2000, I knelt in my mother-in-law's little living room. And I called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save me and to do something for me that I've been trying to do for myself for so many years. Can I tell you something? When I called on him, he saved me. That's what he said in his word. He said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. Call on Jesus Christ and ye shall be saved. Believe upon the Lord and ye shall be saved. And that's what I did on April the 20th. This headline was read out in heaven. Now you may say, why do you think you're important enough that you would make headlines in heaven? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Amen. Luke 15:7 says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. It also says in verse 10, likewise I say unto you there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm glad I can take you to a place. And if you don't have to remember your date, but I ask you this one question. Have you ever made headlines in heaven? Have you ever had a place where you knelt down and you may have had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm glad I hadn't made headlines in heaven one day. Salvation is free for each and every one of us. The price has been paid tonight. And Jesus saith unto the disciples, just like that, back in the book of John, come and dine. And he's saying the same thing to you tonight. If you don't know God and the free pardon of sin, if you've never had an encounter with Jesus Christ, if you've never made headlines in heaven, he's saying, come and dine. Come unto me, all ye that are labor. Come and dine. As we're standing to our feet this evening, maybe my family will come and get a song ready. A song of invitation. Aren't you glad that Jesus knows exactly what we need? I'm glad that one day my story made headlines in heaven. Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment as my wife begins to play something on the piano. I ask you this question. I want you to search your heart. Do you have a place that you can go to where you knelt and called upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you realize tonight that if you're like me and you accepted him the day of your salvation, you made headlines in heaven? The angels rejoiced because you got saved. Have you made headlines in heaven? Now, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us a teacher. Had our greatest need been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. Had it been money, God would have sent us a banker or an economist. Had it been just our greatest need for pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent a Savior. And that Savior's name is Jesus Christ. And He loves you tonight. And His greatest Christmas gift to you would be that you would make headlines in heaven. Lord, we thank You for what You've done tonight. We thank You for Your Word. God, in these next few moments, as my family sings, God, I pray You'll bless them. God, help us as a body of people in here in this church to search our hearts and ask us this simple question: have we ever made headlines in heaven? Lord, we love You and give You thanks for what You're going to do. Every head bowed, just close for a minute. If you need to pray, I'll meet you in this altar to pray. You know if you've ever had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've not, you come tonight. Jesus is saying, come. While my family sings, if you have a need, you come to this altar.
Well, it's been a long, long road, and my soul has grown so weary. I just can't understand all these struggles within me. There have been times I strayed away, even times I could not pray. But somehow my faith would say, just hold on, there's a brighter day. He never gave up.
Yeah.
He never gave up. First He reached down, and that was enough. If you can see who I was before, then I'm sure that you'll agree. He never once ever gave up on me. If your back's against the wall and you feel all hope is gone, have you often asked yourself, is there reason to go on? But He looks beyond my guilty stains, and His mercy takes the blame. So forget about your past. Just praise the Lord, you're free at last. He never gave up. He never gave up. Mercy reached down, and that was enough. If you can see who I was before, then I'm sure that you'll agree. He never once ever gave up on me. If you could see who I was before, then I'm sure that you'll agree. He never once ever gave up on me. If you could see who I was before, then I'm sure that you'll agree. He never once ever gave up on me.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Adam, for that wonderful word, making headlines. Wonderful story that Jesus says. You never get tired of that story, do you? Same story. We could preach it every day. You never exhaust it. It's so refreshing. Every time I read the Word of God, I get something new out of it. Every time I hear it preached, I get something new out of it. Thank you, brother. And this singing, has that been marvelous? Anointed singing. And as I get older, I find out more and more who God anoints, those that are anointable. And if you fit in that category, you preach or sing the Word of God from your heart, and you're right with God, He anoints it. And that makes all the difference in the world. We've heard that so much. Thank you, Edwards family, for coming on this rainy night. Probably foggy going home, but the good Lord's with you, guiding you. And I'd like to say Merry Christmas to everyone. We're not having Wednesday night service. I don't think we've ever, since I've been here 26 years, called off a Wednesday night service at Christmas before. It's not been that, but we're doing it this time. And also New Year's Day will be on, I believe, on Wednesday too. Anyway, all minds and hearts clear. Brother Brian Gilbert, come up here, please, and dismiss us. Our WANA director, chairman of the deacon, and more. We're just keeping busy. Some people you just got to keep busy, you know.
Remember our troops that's over different places all over the world, men and women, that's putting their life for us. Not Jesus Christ, but his life for us. I would like for us to remember that, remember our troops, and sing Silent Night for them, because let me tell you, it's lonely when you're away from home.
Page 147. Silent night, holy night, Mother and child, holy.
for the opportunity to sing that, Brother Brian. Yesterday was the shortest day of our year. Every day we gain about 30 seconds or so. Isn't that marvelous? But just think, it's kind of like a new beginning, isn't it? More daylight. We could have more heavenly light if we just read the good news from a foreign country. Thank God. Thank God.
Thank you, Brother Edwards, for the good news of encouragement. Dear Heavenly Father God, we just come to you tonight as we reflect on the good news that we have in your word, that we can open up each and every day. We can turn the blind eye to this terrible news and stuff during the world, Lord. We just sometimes get caught up in it and forget what you have for us. But help us to look to you first and dwell upon you and dwell in your word and spend time with you, Lord. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for coming to this old sinful world to save us, to be the Savior of the world. And God, this week, we just want to recognize you and lift up you and praise you for what you've done for us. We have so much hope through you, Lord. We love you and thank you. Thank you for all these that's come out tonight. We pray that the Edwards family would have a safe trip home and bless them. We thank you for them and the message that was given to us and the songs of Zion, Lord. Thank you for them. God, just we want to pray for those troops, Lord, that's protecting our freedoms each and every day that we take for granted. We don't even think about them every day, God. But they're sacrificing. They're away from their families during Christmas. And they're sacrificing their lives for us, Lord. We thank you for them. Lift them up. Encourage them, God. Help them get these words of good news too, to encourage them that whatever they face, as they sing tonight, they have a friend in Jesus. God, we thank you and praise you. We just want to lift you up. In Jesus' name I pray.